If you would please turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. And we read beginning with verse 16. The Bible says this, "No one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for to the one who has more will be given, and from the one who has not even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." And this morning we're going to focus on verse 18. It says again, "Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Let's pray. Lord, now again we ask your blessing. We ask that you, the living God, would manifest your presence in our midst by the way that you deal with our hearts through your word. We ask that the Holy Spirit of God would be our teacher, and that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, would be exalted in our minds and hearts. And that, Father, we would love you even by the way that we listen this morning. We ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Christ has been traveling through the cities and the villages, and he's been preaching, he's been teaching. And crowds from all these cities have flocked to him. They've gathered about him. There's a large crowd. Verse 1 tells us of chapter 8. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And their names are listed there. And then verse 4 says, "And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable." So you have this huge group of people gathered from all these cities and villages, gathered around Christ. He begins to address them in a parable. And he shares with them the parable of the sower. And Christ is the sower. He's the one sowing the seed, and the seed is the Word of God. And gathered around him are different kinds of soils in the form of human hearts. Not everyone will be benefited by what he shares, only those who represent good soil will have the Word of God implanted in their hearts, and there will be salvation, and there will be the fruit that follows salvation. And following the parable, his disciples gather around him, and they ask him the meaning of the parable, and he not only gives them the meaning of the parable, but he also tells them why he shares the truth in parables. And then he encourages them to take what they've heard and to realize that they are meant to be lights. What they've heard, what they've learned, you don't hide it. You put it on a stand so that everyone can see. And it's in the midst of that context, realizing that there will be people around him, that there were people around him who would not really hear him. I mean, some are gathered to the Lord Jesus because of his ability. And make no mistake about it, there was never a preacher on the face of this earth who had the ability of the Lord Jesus, right? I mean, you take human ability and you realize how it's enhanced and how it's made even more effective by nearness to God and by the power of the Holy Spirit. No man ever spoke with the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some have gathered around him because of the authority of his teaching. No man speaks like this man speaks. I mean, he's not just referring to the Scriptures. He's actually giving his own truth. He's giving us new truth. "You have heard that it was said, but I say to you..." So Christ is able to appeal to himself. He's able to speak on his own authority. No one has ever spoken with the authority of this man. No one has ever spoken with the skill of being able to get to the human heart, because no man knows the human heart the way the Lord Jesus does. And so He's not only able to teach the truth and with great authority, but His words always strike the chord. His words always hit their mark, because He knows exactly what is represented in front of Him at any given moment as He speaks. Some have gathered to the Lord Jesus out of sheer curiosity. Here is one whom everyone is talking about, and He's the miracle worker. And so some are there just to listen for that reason. So these soils He's talking about, realize this is not theoretical, this is actual. I mean, right there in front of Him are these four different kinds of soils that He talks about in the parable. And it's in that context that He gives us this very important statement that we need to hear this morning. And He says this, verse 18, "Take care then how you hear." Take care how you listen. Be careful. Take care means to be careful. Pay attention to it. Be alert to this. How, this has to do with the manner of your listening, how you listen. In Mark chapter 4, you find the same account, but there the emphasis is on what you listen to. Be careful then what you hear. But here the emphasis is on the manner of your listening. Be careful how you hear. Pay attention to how you listen. And that's what I want us to think about this morning and this evening, actually. We're going to spend two services concentrating on this. And that is, I want you to consider what kind of a listener you are. How do you listen to the Word of God? Christ commands us here to be careful how we listen. Are you a careful listener? George Whitefield, preaching on this text many years ago, said this. He says, "But if it be the duty of ministers to preach, and woe be to them if they do not preach the gospel, for a necessity is laid upon them, no doubt the people are obliged to attend to them. For otherwise, wherefore are ministers sent?" It's a sad thing, but it's a reality, I'm afraid, that many times we don't have the view of preaching that George Whitefield had. He believed that God sends preachers. And I do too. I believe that God calls preachers. I believe that God uniquely gifts preachers. I believe that God sends preachers. And if preachers have been sent by God with His message to deliver, then how should people listen to those messengers? He says, if people are not meant to listen to them, if they're not meant to pay attention to what's being spoken, Whitefield asks this, then why are ministers sent? Why did God call them? Why did He gift them? Why does He send them? If we're not obliged, as he put it, to attend to them, to listen to them. I think this is one of the first things we need to come to grips with if we're going to be a good listener. We've got to come to grips with what's going on in the act of preaching. There's actually something supernatural taking place. There's actually something spiritual taking place. I mean, God's at work. God has sent the messenger with His message. Which means that we're gathered here today, not accidentally, we're gathered here today right in the middle of God's plan. It's amazed me through the years how often someone will be angry with me because they feel as though somehow I have aimed at them when they're 1,000 miles away from my mind. So the question then comes, were they aimed at? What's the answer? Yes. Who aimed at them? God. Do we realize there's something supernatural going on in the act of preaching? There's something spiritual. God sends a messenger with His message. So then, how should we listen? And is everyone a listener? Another thing that's amazing through the years is how I can preach a particular sermon and there'll be someone who sleeps through it. That's not amazing, but I'm just saying that's one part of it. All right. And there they are snoozing through it, right? And before the day is over, I'll get an email or something, and someone will say, "You just won't believe how that sermon impacted me." Received one just this last week where they described the sermon like a hammer. Okay? Same preacher, same message, same setting, same atmosphere. One, it hits like a hammer. The other sleeps. What's the difference? What kind of a listener are we? I don't have any doubt that sometimes preachers want to focus on the listeners and always ascribe sleepiness to the listener when maybe sometimes it's the preacher. But I also don't doubt that listeners want to ascribe it to the preacher when sometimes it's the listener. What kind of a listener are we? And so this morning and this evening, I want us to think about how we can take heed when it comes to how we hear. Jesus says, be careful how you listen. That's the word of instruction. Tonight we'll come back and look at the word of warning, because he also gives a word of warning in verse 18, doesn't he? He goes on to say, here's why you need to be careful how you listen. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. That's a word of warning. So this morning, a word of instruction. Be careful how you listen. Tonight, a word of warning. Understand what the repercussions are. As we think about how we listen, I want you to look over, please, to the book of James, chapter 1. James, chapter 1. And I want to point out a few lessons about how we listen. James, chapter 1, look at verse 18. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. What do we learn here about how we're to listen to the Word of God? The first thing we see is, if you want to be a good listener, be sure that you are a person who is able to listen. Be sure you're a person who is able to listen. What do I mean by that? I mean, be sure that you are saved. Be sure that you have been formed by a sovereign saving work of God to be a receptacle for His Word. God creates listeners. We're not listeners by nature. We are true listeners to the Word of God by virtue of a new nature. A true and genuine hunger for Scripture. A true and genuine ability to receive it and understand it and apply it and live it is only created through the new birth. It's only created through union with Jesus Christ. It's only created by virtue of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. Now, you can listen to the Word of God and not be a Christian. It's possible even to listen to the Word of God with some interest and not be a Christian if you listen to the Word of God like some of those people were listening to Jesus in Luke chapter 8. You can be attracted to the preaching of the Word of God because of someone's ability to speak. Brother Mark has told me on more than one occasion a story about George Whitfield's preaching, where Benjamin Franklin was hurrying down a road, heading off somewhere, and someone called out to him and said, "Where are you headed?" And he said, "I'm going to hear Whitfield." And they said, "But you don't believe what he says." And he says, "No, I don't, but he does. I want to go listen to him because I enjoy listening to him," you see? And so you can have some interest in the preaching of the Word of God just because you are interested in the speaker. Sometimes we can have an interest in the Word of God because there is a sense of authority there, a sense of some answers. I mean, here I am searching in my life and I want some answers for the problems I'm going through, and the Bible represents some sort of answer perhaps for what I'm facing. Why don't we go to church this morning? You know, we're having trouble in our marriage. Why don't we go to church this morning and see if there are some answers there? Why? We're having trouble with our children. Why don't we go to church today and see if there are some answers there? Or you're having some sort of internal struggle. You're an unhappy person. There's an awareness in your life that something is missing. And maybe in the preaching of the Word of God, there will be an answer for you. And indeed, there is an answer. But it all begins with salvation, you see. Our real career as a listener begins with conversion. You say, where do you get this from? Well, look at verse 18. Of His own will. This is a sovereign work of God. He brought us forth, that is, He gave us birth. That's what the words there mean. He birthed us into His family, into His kingdom. He gave us new life. How did He do it? By the Word of truth. You see, our beginning with the Word of God as a believer happened when the Lord brought us forth, when the Lord gave us birth with that Word. That is, we heard the gospel, we heard the good news about Jesus Christ, and God opened our eyes to see the truth that is there. And we saw Jesus for the first time as who He really is, the Son of God, sent by the Father into the world 2,000 years ago now for us. And He was born of a virgin, and He lived a sinless life, and He died on the cross in the stead of sinners, and He's been raised from the dead. He's alive forevermore, and He actually saves people from their sins, delivers them from bondage to sin and Satan, joins them to the family of God, and takes up residence in them in the person of the Holy Spirit, and gives them life. And we heard that good news, and we understood it, so that our hearts were broken over our sinfulness, we turned from our sins, and we trusted in Christ. That's where our relationship to Scripture began. And if that hasn't happened in your life, then you're just a superficial listener. And until you enter into the reality of what it means to know Christ, that's the only kind of listener you can be. The kind where sometimes the seed is stolen away, the kind where sometimes the seed immediately begins to look like it's taking root, but because of persecution you end up falling away, or the kind that there's some initial excitement over Jesus, but then the cares of this world, earthly riches and earthly concerns, it chokes out the fruitfulness of the Word of God, and in the end there's no fruit in your life because you were never really converted. You see, there are some people who it seems like they've received, it seems like they have, but what they think they have will be taken away. We'll talk about that tonight. So the first thing you need to consider, if you're the right kind of listener, is do you have a real interest in God's Word? Are you a converted person, a new creature, a child of God, so that now the Word of God feeds your soul? You believe it. You hunger and thirst for it like a newborn babe hungers and thirsts for milk. So that you find a desire for the Word of God and a satisfaction in it when you read it, study it, it's preached to you, taught to you. Is that you? Do you have a heart that's been formed by God's saving grace, by a real relationship with Christ, to receive from Scripture? It's pointless to tell people to sit up and listen who have no interest in the truth. And that's not to take away their responsibility. One day, if indeed you die without Jesus, you will be held responsible for every bit of truth that you were careless toward. Every bit of truth you rejected, every bit of truth you slept through, every bit of truth you had no interest in. Make no mistake about it, what you do in this world does matter. And for the careless listener who has no real interest in the truth, one day there will be a responsibility for everything you were exposed to, but you had no interest in. Be sure that you're a person who is able to listen. Don't be satisfied with Bible study. Settle for nothing less than real salvation. Do you know Christ? But the second thing, now if we say, okay, we're talking to believers now, people who've been brought forth by the Word of Truth, does that automatically mean that on every Sunday, in every given sermon, you're going to be listening the way you should be? Let me say it to you this way. Is it possible for saved people to be sleepy listeners? So what do we need to do to make sure as saved people that we are good listeners? What do we need to do? Well, here's the second thing. Be sure that you're a person who has a teachable spirit. Look at verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. What's he talking about there? It's interesting. These verses have been quoted a lot, but outside their context. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. What's the context for it? How we listen to the Word of God. So when he says to be quick to hear, what does he mean? He means that if I have a teachable spirit, I am eager to listen. I am swift. I am quick to listen. I desire to hear. I'm ready to hear. I'm anxious to hear. I'm excited to hear. That's the right attitude. Do you hurry to the teaching time? Are you anxious for it? Do you look forward to it? Are you ready to listen? Do you come into this place ready to listen, quick to hear? You won't be quick to hear if you think you already know. You won't be quick to hear if you think you never need to be reminded. Come on, preacher, give me something new. Tell me something I've never heard before. Beware the preacher who's always ready to tell you something you've never heard before. Because eventually he'll invent things. A great part of preaching is just reminding people of things they already know. The question is, do you think you need to be reminded? If I know I need to be reminded, then I'm anxious to hear, even if it's something I've heard before. Because I realize my need to be reminded, my ability to forget. You won't be quick to hear if you think you should be the teacher. Do you do that? I mean, think about not just the preaching time, but even think about your Bible study time, your Sunday school time. Do you sit there and secretly think to yourself, you know what, I could do a better job with this than they are. I mean, I should be the teacher. You can't have a teachable spirit if you're always thinking you should be the one teaching. You won't be quick to hear if you think you don't need to be taught. Do you need to be taught? Do you need instruction? Do you need to learn? Let me give it to you in a word. You won't be quick to hear if you are proud. Prideful people, proud people, are not quick to listen. What does it mean to have a teachable spirit? It means you're ready to hear. Second, it means you're slow to speak. Now again, hear that in its context. What picture comes to your mind when you hear, be slow to speak? We can say this. What is the opposite of being ready to hear? It is being ready to speak. I'm not ready to hear, I'm ready to talk. I'm not ready to listen, I'm ready to respond. I don't really hear you because I'm already formulating my answers. Anybody here ever had a conversation with someone who doesn't really listen to you? Someone who's always ready to answer you? You can't even finish the sentence before they're answering? and you realize there's no communication going on here. Well, you know what? We can listen to preaching that way. I had someone the other day tell me they were ready to debate me on the subject of tongues. Well, there's one problem with that. I haven't finished the series yet. And can I finish it? Can we get all the way through it first? Right? What does that tell you? It tells you that before I'm even willing to hear the whole case, I've already made my mind up. I already have my answer. And that's just one example. But you know what? That happens across the board, doesn't it? It happens when we're talking to someone about their sin sometimes. Here, just this week, someone I care very deeply about, they don't live here, they're far away, but we're trying to help them with an issue of sin. And before you can get a statement out of your mouth, they're already answering. What does that tell you? They're not teachable. They're not teachable. What does it mean to have a teachable spirit? I am quick to hear and I'm slow to speak. I'm really ready to listen. Notice what else a teachable spirit is. He says, and slow to anger. That is, we don't get mad when the Word of God strikes home. When the Word of God exposes our wrong thinking, when the Word of God exposes our wrong attitudes and our wrong choices, when the Word of God exposes our sin, when the Word of God, listen, when it calls upon us to do what we don't want to do in our flesh, when it calls upon us to change, you know, we've made our mind up, we're settled on a course of action, no one's going to change my mind, and then, oh my, here comes the Word of God. And it reveals that your thinking's been wrong, and your attitude's been wrong, and your choice has been wrong. Now, what are you going to do when you're exposed? Are you going to agree with Scripture and with a humble heart and a grateful heart walk in the way of truth, or are you going to get angry and argue and reject what you've heard? You see, if you're listening to the Word of God rightly, you're not listening to justify yourself. Do you ever justify yourself in the face of Scripture? People do it all the time, don't they? And they do it in so many different ways. I've told you the story before, but I'll tell it to you again. The first church I pastored, there was a dear, she was a sweet lady, but it came, she said it so many times, I came to just expect it. She would say, after a sermon, she would say, "Now, Brother Richard, I know that's what the Bible says, but realistically speaking," that was her famous little line, all the time. "But realistically speaking," now what was she saying? "That's what the Bible says, but here's the real world. I mean, that's what the Bible calls upon me to do, but see, I'm justified in not doing what it says because I can't live in the Bible world, I've got to live in the real world." I wonder how many people here this morning are rejecting portions of the Word of God, and the way you're justifying it in your mind is you say it's because you're living in the real world. Folks, listen, the real world is the Bible's world. Everything else is a deception. If what the Bible says is different from what you're saying, you're wrong. And if you imagine that you're right when you're disagreeing with Scripture, you are deceived. And the real world bears that out. Because just note what happens in the real world when people reject the Word of God. Everything the Bible says will happen, happens. One of the greatest evidences of the truthfulness of Scripture is its pinpoint accuracy when it comes to man, his nature, his choices, and the results associated with his sinful choices. That's why you can read the Old Testament and you can see in real life what happened to people who rejected the Word of God. And if you live in this world right now, you'll see the Old Testament repeated in your generation. Because the Bible is true. Are you wanting to justify yourself in the face of Scripture? Here's what you ought to be aiming at, verse 19, or verse 20 rather. "For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires." God requires. You see that word? He requires righteousness. He demands it. He expects it. He commands it. What is righteousness? It's what's right in the sight of God. What we ought to be aiming for in our lives is what is right in the sight of God. And He requires it. He demands it. And you know what? When you get angry in the face of truth, it will not produce His righteousness. Righteousness is produced, right living is produced when we are quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger. That is when we're open-hearted, when we have a teachable spirit. How can I be careful how I listen? First of all, which of the four soils am I? Am I really represented in the good soil? Am I really a believer? Is my heart a receptacle for truth? Has God changed me by a relationship with His Son so that now His Word is my food? Am I saved? The second question then is, even if I say that I'm born again, am I teachable? Have I maintained a teachable spirit? Eager to learn, slow to argue, and I don't get angry when God's Word deals with my sin. Which leads to a third thing we see here. Verse 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted Word which is able to save your souls. How can I be careful with how I listen? The third thing is this, be sure that you are a person who has prepared the soil of your heart. You notice there's stuff that has to happen so that you can receive with meekness the implanted Word. There's stuff that has to happen that prepares the way for me to receive the Word of God. Can I ask you this morning how much preparation, I mean, that you aimed at, you were conscious of it, how much preparation did you do to be ready to receive this sermon this morning? Have you prepared the soil of your heart? Have you made your heart ready to receive the Word of God? Why is it that for some people it's a hammer and for some people it's something to sleep through? I've got news for you. Your spiritual condition will dictate the spiritual atmosphere of your life. Isn't it amazing how when we're walking close to the Lord, we're more sensitive to the things of God? How do you prepare your heart to receive God's Word? First of all, He says, verse 21, put away all filthiness. That has to do with moral defilement. How do I prepare my heart to receive truth? I've got to put away all outward sin. All that which would defile me. All that represents filthiness. It's no wonder, folks. Listen, it's no wonder we cannot hear the Word of God when we are cramming our mind and heart full of garbage and we rarely expose ourselves to Scripture. When we are listening to hours and hours every week of music that doesn't glorify God, television that doesn't glorify God, all kind of reading material perhaps that doesn't glorify God, and you ask the average believer, how much time did you spend this week reading your Bible? And in some cases the answer is zero time, but I've spent hours watching TV, listening to my music, and much of that stuff is just garbage, and then we come in here and wonder why we're not sensitive to truth. Or we're living in known areas of filthiness and sin in our moral life. What's coming out of our mouth, what we're exposing ourselves to through companionships and behavior, we're living in moral filthiness, and then we wonder why we're not sensitive to God's Word. I'm not saying it's going on here. I'm not saying it's not. But I will tell you this. In churches all across this land today, there are people who committed fornication on Saturday night and sit in church on Sunday morning. There are people who got drunk on Saturday night and sit in church on Sunday morning. There are people involved in all kinds of sins on Saturday night, then they sit in church on Sunday morning and say, "Bless me." If you want to receive the Word of God, you have to take seriously the fact that sin is filthiness and it must be put away in all its forms. Verse 21, "Therefore put away all filthiness." And then he says rampant wickedness or overflowing or that part of sin that is stubborn, that hangs on. You know, as you grow in the Christian life, you quickly discover that the outside of the cup is much easier to deal with than the inside. You get saved, I mean, you're newly converted, and right away, what does the Lord begin to deal with you about? You know, things like what comes out of your mouth and language and all the rest. He begins to deal with us in those things that are, and I know they seem so difficult at the beginning, and it is a struggle, but as time goes on, you discover it is easier to deal with what is outside, what is perceptible to people, than it is to deal with what is inside. Attitudes, motives, thoughts that are not pure. The things that no one knows about, no one can see, but you and God. And if I want to walk with the Lord closely, and if I want to be a person who is sensitive to the truth and ready to listen, I must not only deal with the areas of sin that people can see, I must deal with private sin. I must deal with secret sin. I must deal with what only God and myself, what I know about, that would go on in my thoughts, that would go on in my attitudes, that would go on in my motives. Has anyone here ever smiled and said hello to someone that you had bitterness in your heart toward? If you've ever done that, would you raise your hand? And the rest now have to confess the hidden sin of lying, right? Now listen, what does that demonstrate to you? It's possible to put on a show on the outside that's not real on the inside. And if we're going to be serious about receiving the Word of God, we cannot just deal with what is on the outside. We have to take sin seriously when it's battling us on the inside. And call it what it is according to Scripture. And not justify it, excuse it, but call it what it is according to Scripture and slay it, kill it, deal with it according to what Scripture says. Stubborn sins. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. The third thing we have to do if we want to receive the Word of God and prepare the soil of our heart is we've got to put away all pride. Pride and truth will not coexist. He says, and receive with what? Meekness. What's meekness? It's a humble gentleness. Right? You think about an animal that hasn't been domesticated, hasn't been broken. It's wild. You can't control it. And then you have an animal that's powerful like a horse, but if it's been broken properly, it's amazing how it can be controlled. Years ago, we bought a horse. Years and years ago, this was like a terrible mistake, but we bought a horse for our son Chris. I am not a horse guy, let me tell you that right now. Things scared me to death all the time, all right? But I'll never forget going to buy this horse with someone who knew about horses, and we didn't, and we knew we didn't. But I'll never forget this big quarter horse, huge horse, running around this arena, and the way the guy demonstrated that it was good for our kids is as that horse would run around the arena, he would rope its back leg. He could rope its back leg and then, of course, let it go. But the horse never flinched. Trained. Well, here's the question. When you're exposed to truth, are you fighting it? Are you like a horse that hasn't been broken? Or is there a brokenness present, a humility present that produces a gentleness that says, God, whatever you say is what I want to do. You know, it doesn't take jerking the reins with me. Just put a little pressure on one side and I'll turn. Just show me what you want and I'm ready. You can't receive the Word of God when you're fighting the Word of God. You can't receive the Word of God when you are intent on doing things your way. Is there humility present that produces gentleness, that is able to be directed? Put away all outward sin, put away all secret sin, put away all pride. Fourth, he says, notice, receive with meekness the implanted Word. That is, I listen to take the Word of God into my heart. We talk about this a lot around here, but I want to keep saying it. You know, we don't want to simply be people who listen to the Word of God on an intellectual level. Is it impacting the inner atmosphere of your life? Is it affecting the way you think and the way you feel and the way you choose? Are you listening to the Word of God so that it will be implanted deep within your soul? Listen sincerely, you see? Listen to believe it. Listen to do it. God, I'm here this morning because I want to commune with You. I'm here this morning because I want to hear from You. I'm here this morning because I don't want my heart to be the same as when I came in. I want to be changed by the truth and I want to walk in what I hear. You see, listen so that the Word will be implanted. Put away sin on the outside. Put away sin on the inside. Put away this fighting against the Word of God. Be ready to do what God says and then let His Word take root in your soul. If you want to prepare the soil of your heart, notice the last thing He mentions there. He says, which is able to save your soul. That is, put before your mind's eye what is at stake here. What is at stake in our listening to the Word of God? What is being saved? Your very life. Do you listen to the Word of God realizing your very life is at stake? Folks, do you realize that on any given week we meet with people whose lives are being destroyed because they won't listen to the Word of God? Marriages destroyed, children destroyed, personal lives destroyed because there's a stubborn rebellion against God. What's at stake in your listening? You may not even realize it. You may sit here so often, so regularly that you've lost touch with what is at stake. What is at stake is our lives. The health and well-being, the future of our very soul. I think that deserves some preparation, don't you? If I'm coming into a place where God has sent a messenger with a message that's for me, because I'm there today, shouldn't I get myself ready to hear it? And how do I get myself ready? I deal with my sin. And I realize what is at stake. What's at stake is my life. And you know what? Notice he uses an ability word there, verse 21. The implanted Word which is able to save your souls. The Word of God is sufficient for such a task. To save you in the sense of everlasting life, but also to save you in the sense of ongoing sanctification. The Word of God is sufficient for that work. Question is, are you listening? Take heed how you hear. What kind of a listener are you? Are you a listener? Did God bring you forth with the Word of truth? Did He give birth to you? Are you born again? Do you have right now a relationship to Scripture that began when of His own sovereign will He brought you into being with the gospel? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank You for the Word of God, for Your Word, Lord, that You've given to us. Thank You that You made us Your people through this Word, through the gospel. You brought us to Yourself. You made us alive to You. And Lord, when You did that, You made us alive to the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for giving us through the new birth a hunger and a thirst like newborn babies for the sincere milk of your word. And thank you, Lord, that you have given us what we need in order to live in your word. I pray for us, Lord, that we would examine ourselves in terms of how we listen. And that, Lord, we would move out of a lazy state, if that's where we have been. And we would be awakened afresh and anew to what's taking place in the act of preaching. We would see a messenger sent with a message from you. And that, Lord, we would put away all of our sins in all of their forms. Put away our pride. And realize what's at stake. So that we would listen. And we ask you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.